Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Satellite internet provider Starlink experienced a major, quote, network outage this afternoon that lasted about 2.5 hours. That's according to a post from the company on the social media platform X. Starlink, its parent company SpaceX, and X are all owned by Elon Musk. An executive with the company later posted that the service was mostly recovered around 2:20 p.m. local time and pointed to software issues for the problem. Starlink has been increasingly popular in Alaska, especially in rural areas without other internet infrastructure like fiber optic cables. Some shared on Facebook about the outages in Alaska. Musk also posted on his personal X account that, quote, SpaceX will remedy root causes to ensure it doesn't happen again, end quote. The connectivity issues affected places around the world. According to reporting from Reuters, it was considered a total outage for Starlink. And a quick correction to a story that aired on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning. School districts will potentially be impacted by a failed appeal, not states. And now for a quick look at weather today in Juneau. It is mostly cloudy and 61 degrees right now. Tonight there is a 30% chance of rain, mainly between 7 p.m. and 4 a.m. Tomorrow on Friday, a slight chance of rain before 10 a.m. And Friday night will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 53 degrees. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Longtime Juneau School District board member and board president Dee Dee Sorensen says she is no longer planning to run for re-election. She's been known as a longstanding advocate and voice for teachers during her six-year tenure. Sorensen says she will finish out her current term, but plans to step down after this October's municipal election for personal reasons. Earlier this year, Sorensen told KTOO that she did plan to run for re-election.
I've given a lot of years to public education in Juneau, and it's been extremely stressful. And I would actually like to retire.
Sorensen is 74 years old and a retired elementary school teacher who taught in Juneau for more than 35 years. She holds a master's degree in early childhood education. During her career, she was an active member of the Juneau Education Association and served as a staff member on many district committees. Juneau voters first elected Sorensen to the board in 2019. She was then re-elected for a second term in 2022. While on the board, she helped the district navigate through COVID-19 pandemic and the consolidation of Juneau's high schools and middle schools. Sorensen and fellow board member Emil Mackey were the subjects of a recall attempt in last year's election. The effort was led by a group of residents who wanted to remove them, in part due to their votes in favor of the consolidation. But election results showed that most voters were against removing the pair and both held their seats. Sorensen says she stands by the decisions that the board made during the pandemic and consolidation process. She says a lot of the difficult decisions that the school board faces could be solved if the state and federal government adequately funded districts. She described the current state of public education in Alaska as walking on the edge of a cliff that's eroding under your feet.
I feel like the last 7 years have been, at the state level, have been an assault on public education.
She says state and federal moves to shrink government funding for education undermine the basis for a well-informed public. Sorensen is one of two school board seats that will be open this election. There's also an opportunity to serve a partial term following former school board member Will Muldoon's abrupt resignation this spring. As of this afternoon, the city clerk's office has not certified any candidates for those seats. The deadline to file for a seat in this election is Monday, July 28th at 4:30 p.m. And drag queens in Alaska typically find their stages in Anchorage or Fairbanks. But last week, three Alaska queens traveled to the bush to perform in Bethel's first ever drag show. As KYUK's Samantha Watson reports, The Pride event bridged Native culture with the modern art form, featuring an all-Indigenous cast.
A performer wearing a sparkly rainbow cusbook steps onto the stage as the opening notes of Colors of the Wind from Disney's Pocahontas plays. The crowd erupts in recognition. Drag is an art form rooted in the exaggerated expression of gender, which can be feminine or masculine. A drag show is kind of like a live theater performance and usually involves dancing and lip-syncing to musical arrangements. Part of it is the costumes, big hair, colorful makeup, glitter, and sequins, which create these hyper-feminine or masculine personas known as drag queens and kings. And these personas come with their own stage names. They can be played by anyone, regardless of the performer's gender. The queen, known by her stage name Ice Wada, floats around the stage and into the audience, flicking the waves of her long black wig over her shoulder.
As someone who is Indigenous and Quaker Athabascan from Canada, Alaska,
Ice is part of the evening's all-Indigenous cast of drag queens, put on by Bethel Actors Guild with support from Teens Acting Against Violence and the Tundra Women's Coalition. Ice says they wear regalia on stage made by their grandmother, sister, and aunt, and they've taken inspiration from pop Native culture. Ice says they got an idea from a doll maker in Anchorage who created her own Alaskified Fish Camp Barbie.
And I was like, oh my God. What if there was like a commercial for that? Oh my God, what if I made that a performance?
She's not your ordinary Barbie. She's an Alaska Native with a passion for adventure.
Ice steps onto the stage wearing a hot pink cusbuck. A salmon plushie peeks out of the pocket.
Comes complete with her own Olu knife and watch her skillfully navigate the preparation of a king salmon.
They debuted the performance at an event in Anchorage, raising money to help communities weather the salmon crisis along the Yukon, where Ice grew up fishing.
So I don't perform it that often because I want to keep it for my Native people and these rural villages. Like, it's very important to them. And when I've done it for a non-Native crowd, they didn't really quite understand it. So I was like, okay, well, this is not for you.
Did you feel here, like, from the crowd, like, understanding?
Yeah. At first, they were like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, my God, wait, this is everything.
The show is part of Bethel's Pride festivities, following a queer community mixer and march, one the queens participated in alongside Bethel community members. The event was held in Bethel's Cultural Center, which is affiliated with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. After initially leasing the space to Bethel Actors Guild, the university stepped in as a sponsor, donating the space for the evening. But in the days leading up to the event, organizers say UAF pulled back its financial support. When reached for comment, a spokesperson from UAF said the initial rental support was an administrative error because the space wasn't being used for a university-affiliated event. But the queens, who've collaborated with the university for drag events in the past, say it felt like a move against Pride, especially in the wake of opposition the event received when promoted online from the community and statewide outlets. Here's Queen Lamia Monroe.
Institutions of many different types are reacting defensively with what's going on politically and nationally. And so unfortunately, we see them withdrawing support from things that in the past they've pledged to support. So it's an unfortunate circumstance, but I think that all kind of informs why the community aspect of this is so important.
Monroe is an Oonga tribal member who grew up in a cabin outside of Fairbanks to dog musher parents. They say the community's enthusiasm made the event shine.
I'm so excited to go back to Anchorage and tell them that Bethel was the most lit show that I've done in my career. I can honestly say this was one of my highlights of performing, and I've been doing this for almost 10 years, so it was just really special.
In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson.
And Alaska's former U.S. Representative Mary Peltola is suing the owner of the aircraft that her late husband, Eugene Buzzy Peltola Jr., was piloting at the time of his death. KYUK's Evan Erickson has more.
The civil suit filed in Bethel Superior Court on July 18th alleges negligent actions by hunting guide Bruce Werba and two companies under Werba's control caused Peltola Jr.'s death. The Piper PA-18-150 Super Cub, piloted by Peltola Jr., was loaded with moose meat when it crashed shortly after takeoff from a remote hunting camp near the Lower Yukon River community of St. Mary's on September 12, 2023. According to the suit, the defendants acted negligently by causing Peltola Jr. to fly excessive hours, fly without adequate rest, fly under unreasonably dangerous conditions, and carry moose antlers lashed to the exterior of the aircraft without the required permit. A final report on the crash released by the National Transportation Safety Board on Tuesday found no evidence that the plane had been approved for carrying antlers externally and that the antlers likely degraded takeoff performance. It also found that the plane was loaded roughly 6% above its maximum takeoff weight. The report says these factors combined with the turbulent conditions in the area likely caused Peltola Jr. to lose control of the aircraft. The suit also alleges that Peltola Jr. was an employee of the defendants at the time of his death and that the defendants failed to provide workers' compensation insurance for him. Myron Anksman, one of two attorneys representing Mary Peltola, says this is a critical detail.
If you don't have workers' comp, then you're open to a lawsuit. And this is the key part. You are unable to blame the employee for what happened.
The suit also claims that at the time of his death, Peltola Jr. was working as part of an agreement to purchase the Piper Super Cub and had made a down payment on it. According to the suit, the title for the aircraft was set to be transferred to Peltola Jr. at the end of the 2023 hunting season. The suit claims the defendants have failed to pay back funds paid by Peltola Jr. before his death and owed his estate. The suit calls for a jury trial and asks for damages of more than $100,000. As of Tuesday, an initial hearing had not been set. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.